The task of seeing the gospel go forth to all the nations is a very big task. And we've been going through this sermon series where we've been talking about the greatest investment. The greatest investment is not about what we can invest in, but about what God is invested in. And God is invested in his own glory. God desires to see his glory, himself, be made known all around the world. And the way that he does that is by using his own people, using those Christians to go out and share the truth that God is working to restore all of creation, to restore the whole world unto himself, to be able to have a relationship with God once again. In our sermon series, we talked about these things. We also talked about how we desire to see, in order to bring the gospel to the world, we have to learn about the world and learn about the different people groups that are out there. Hold on, this slide thing is not working so well right now. Am I changing the wrong one? All right. Okay, here we go. All right. And so we also learn about the idea of incarnational ministry and how we need to be willing to change for the gospel. We also heard through the sermon and also through our Sunday school class that God has been working all throughout the world, all throughout time, using his own people to do wonderful works. Because our God is a missionary God. And when we look back at history, what we find is that history is his story. And starting last week, we started talking about some of the strategies that we can use or what we need to focus on in being involved in God's investment. And last week, we talked about making disciples and what that looks like. And as we make disciples, we want to make kingdom citizens, people that are a part of God's kingdom. Now, one of the interesting things about the video was that it mentioned that if there are less than 2% of the people that consider themselves evangelical Christian, then they are considered an unreached people group. For a while, Taiwan had 2% or less people that were considered Christian. Right now, the stats are somewhere around 6%. Are considered Christian, 6 to 7%. But then usually what they say is about half of those people are Catholic and half are considered evangelical Christian. Now, those are just rough estimates. And so we're not that far from being considered an unreached people group. There's still a lot of work to be done, even here in Taiwan, if we want to see the gospel go forth throughout this land. And so it's important for us, all of us, to have in mind, what is God doing here in Taiwan? What is it that God is doing, and how can we get involved in this kingdom work? To understand a little bit more of that, and as we continue to talk about the strategies for this investment, why don't we turn our Bibles to John chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 20 to 23. John chapter 17. Verses 20 to 23. Our title for today's sermon is Kingdom Investment Practices. And so today we're going to be talking a little bit more about some practical things. All right. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. This is the reading of God's word. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Amen. Last week, we talked a little bit about what does a person who is invested in the kingdom of God look like? What should a person that is involved in God's kingdom work, a person that's making disciples, well, what do they kind of look like? Well, disciples, kingdom citizens, are people who pray, who learn, who seek to learn, who seek accountability. They are people that make disciples and eventually end up planting churches even. Not that everyone will plant a church, but what I mentioned last week was the idea that even you can make disciples in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, and through that you can maybe even start a Bible study on your own in those places. And in a very general sense, that gathering together is like a church. And disciples are those who are passionate for God's glory, continually thinking about how can I continue to be involved in what God is invested in. Now, as we heard from the video, that there's still a lot of work to be done. And there is a need for all churches around the world to even be focused on the 1040 window, that little block in the world where there still are a lot of unreached people groups. And there's also the unengaged unreached people groups, the UUPGs. And it's just a lot of work. And maybe for some of us, we might have the thought of, you know, I might try my best to make disciples, but it just seems like such a big work. How are we supposed to accomplish this? How are we supposed to finish this task? And the idea here that we want to get to today is that we need to remember that this work is not just a one-person work. This is something that God calls all of God's people to get involved in together. And this is not just an FPC work. This is not just a Friendship Presbyterian work. God calls all churches all around the world to be involved in this kingdom work. And so when God calls all of us to be involved in this kingdom work, what ends up happening sometimes is that there are divisions, there are competitions that happens between God's people. And so what does Jesus call us to do as we're seeking the same goal, as we're seeking to see the gospel go forth? What is it that God, that Jesus calls us to do? Here's the main idea for today. Main idea is kingdom citizens, let's unite together to bless this world. If you are a Christian, you are a kingdom citizen. And Jesus is talking to you today. Let us unite together to bless, to continue and be a part of what God is doing in this world. And we're going to talk about this idea with 3 points. Number one, unity characteristics. Number two, unity connection. And number three, unity considerations. I'm really trying these days to try to find words that start with the same letter. So once again, our main idea for today is kingdom citizens unite to bless. And the 3 points are number one, unity characteristics. Number two, unity connection. And number three, unity considerations. Let's talk about this first point. Unity characteristics. As we look at our verse today, it starts off with this statement, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's speaking here? If you have one of these Bibles, or if you have any like electronic Bible that has these titles on them, then what you'll find is that this whole chapter is a chapter of Jesus' prayer. If you ever wondered what was on Jesus' heart, you'll be able to find what was on Jesus' heart in this chapter. John chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer just before he gets arrested, to get tried, to get convicted, and then to go to the cross. Falsely convicted, wrongly convicted, and then he goes to the cross. So this is a prayer that's really, really important. And John, the writer of this book, John wants to emphasize what Jesus is focused on before he goes to the cross. And so what Jesus does is that he prays for three different things. He prays for himself in the beginning of chapter 17. The second thing is that he prays for his 12 disciples. And then starting from verse 20, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through the 12 disciples' word. And what we find is that the 12 disciples, in one way or another, have contributed to the writing of the New Testament. And some of you guys might be saying, what about Paul? Paul is considered also one of Jesus' apostles, but he's considered the apostle specifically to the Gentiles. And so his writings are also found in the New Testament. It says, I pray for those who will believe in me through the testimony that's found in the Bible, through the writings, through the word of his disciples. What does that mean? Let me just make it absolutely clear. Jesus is praying for you here in John chapter 17. What is Jesus praying for you about? This is what Jesus is praying for. Verse 21, that they may all be one. Kingdom citizens, unite, because this is what Jesus is praying for you, for all of his people, all around the world, all throughout time. Jesus is praying that his people would unite together, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. What's the goal? What's the purpose? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prays that we would have unity, not just so that we could be happy and having a wonderful time together, so that we can be not eating snacks during this COVID time together. Normally we'd be eating together and enjoying each other's company in that way. But Jesus prays that we would have unity for a purpose. It's so that the world will know who Jesus Christ is. If we go on to the next verse, it says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, I'm praying that you would have unity, and that unity is going to be motivated. There's going to be power. There's going to be this example of what that unity looks like as Jesus gives us his glory, the glory that Jesus received from the Father. And what is this glory about? According to the book of John, this glory is about how Jesus Christ displays who he is in all his splendor and glory. I'm using the same word, but he's displaying that he is God, but not only that, he is glorified when he dies and fulfills the Father's will, what God has invested in, when he dies for people's sins, and then he's raised to life, and then he ascends into heaven. This is the glory that Jesus is talking about. I have given them this kind of glory for my people to be willing to face anything and face dangers and to die with me, that they may be raised to life with me and to ascend into heaven. This is the idea that unity of how the Father gives the glory to the Son, that idea is what empowers us and is an example for us to also be unified together. I'll explain a little bit about this idea of the example between the Father and the Son in a moment. In verse 23, it says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Once again, Jesus prays that you would have the ability, through the glory that's given to you through Jesus Christ, that you would have the ability to become one, and so that the world will know who Jesus Christ is, but also so that the world will know that the Father loves his children. This is an amazing work. This is something amazing to be a part of. And this is what Jesus prays for us about. Let me kind of put it in picture, We are able to be unified when we receive God's glory, when we are connected with Jesus Christ and connected to the Father, when we're connected to our triune God, we are able to experience unity ourselves. And the purpose of our unity is that others would come to believe in Jesus and that they would experience the love of Jesus. Now, one thing I want to make clear is that unity is not uniformity. And what that means is that unity is about having the same goal in mind, having God's investment goal in mind. It means that we continue to trust our Lord Jesus together. But it doesn't mean that we need to all have the same likes, that we all need to have the same hobbies, that we all need to like singing, or that we all need to be extroverted. It doesn't mean that we all need to dress the same way. It doesn't mean that we all have to do everything the same way. That's not what unity is about. That's what we might say is uniformity. Unity is the idea of keeping in mind together what God is doing, having that same goal together. And then as we receive God's love, that we would share that same love with one another. And that we would encourage each other and continue to encourage each other on, press each other on towards fulfilling what God wants us to do in this world. That's what unity is about. Same goal, same love, same spirit that's empowering us to go and do this thing together. Now, as we talk about this idea of unity, we have to talk about this idea of the unity connection. Now, the thing is that whenever we talk about unity, there's a lot of things that might come to our mind about how the church is not unified, how even within our community groups, we're not unified, how between churches, we're not really unified, how between people of different backgrounds, churches between like from different countries, how we're all not unified. And there are many, many reasons why we are not unified. But then that's why we need to focus on what this unity connection is really all about. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And then in verse 23, Jesus says, "I in them," Jesus is saying, "I am connected with my people. I am unified with my people and you in me." The Father is also unified with the Son. And so by extension, we are also connected with the Father. In theological terms, we might call this the union of Christ, union with Christ. How we can be connected with our Lord Jesus Christ and how we are connected with our triune God through the Spirit. We're connected to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful and powerful thing that can overcome any disunity that exists among his people. As I mentioned before, the idea of glory in the book of John is the idea of Jesus Christ, how he went to the grave, how he died for people's sins, but then how he was able to raise to life again. He was raised to life and he ascended into heaven. And that's the glory where we see Jesus lifted up. That's the glory that we're talking about. And that glory is also given to us where we experience this life dying with Christ. We go through the struggles. We go through the hard times together, looking forward to how we will be raised with Jesus one day. There's this book called The J-Curve that goes into this idea, and I'm not going to go into the book, but I'm just putting it up here for you guys to know. And it says on the side, "Dying and rising with Jesus in everyday life." And so because of our connection with Jesus, because of our connection, our unity connection with God, we can experience resurrection. One day in the future, we will experience resurrection. But not only that, we can share with Christ's suffering. We have union with Christ and we go through our times of suffering with Jesus. And he knows what you're going through. He knows the pain that you might be experiencing. Maybe it might be the pain that that church caused you, or it might be the pain that another congregation member caused you. But when we go through that pain, or when we go through the suffering, when we face persecution, Jesus is right there because we're united with him. Jesus is right there saying, I know what you're going through, and I'm here for you. And because Jesus is there for us, we can experience security. And sometimes we may get into fights with people within the church or with other people from other churches, or maybe people online, we get into fights with them and we don't have unity within the church because we feel like someone's attacking me. Someone's going to say something bad about me, or they're going to discover that I'm not a good person. And we lack that security. But when we're united with Christ, we have that security. We know that Jesus is there for us. Not only that, we know of his love. The Bible tells us that through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, even while we were still sinning against God, that he demonstrated his love for us by dying on the cross for our sins. When we're connected with Christ, we experience that love with him. Not only that, because we have Jesus with us, because we're connected with the Father, because we're connected with our triune God, the God that created heaven and earth, the God that has all power. If we are connected with God, if we know that Jesus has made a way so that we are connected with God, then we can have confidence to face anything that we may face in this world. And even if it means that someone is talking bad about me, or even if it means that other churches are talking bad about our church, or even if it means that it seems like our church is shrinking and other churches are growing, it doesn't matter. We can have confidence in our Lord because we know that our Lord is with us. Our Lord is on our side. The Lord is on his people's side. With our union connection with our Lord Jesus Christ, we can also experience acceptance. No matter who you are, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, no matter how you may have caused hurt to other people within the church that caused division, or no matter how you might have spoken bad about other churches to cause division between churches, God has already forgiven you and accepts you. You don't have to worry about being rejected. Because of our connection with our God, we can experience peace. And not only that, we can experience rest. And finally, because of our connection with our God, God gives us purpose. He gives us a path that we can walk on. He tells us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to live for my glory. I want you to live for this kingdom. And so God works in this way through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus prayed that I am in them and you are in me. And we have this connection with God, our God, our mighty God, and we're able to experience all these things because of this connection that we have with our God. And so with that in mind, we come to our third point, unity considerations. Let me back up a little bit. God calls us to be united together, to live for his kingdom together. Kingdom citizens, unite to bless. Because we were blessed to be a blessing. God calls us to do this, to unite together in doing this. This is not a one-man job. This thing, this job, this mission of restoring this world to our God is something that God does through us, not just me, not just through you, not just through our church here, not just through the churches here in Taipei, not just through the churches in Taiwan, but this is something that God does through all of his people all around the world. And there may be reasons sometimes that we don't experience that unity and there is division among us, but because of the connection that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to experience all those things that is listed out. And this encourages us and empowers us to be united with others, with other churches even, with other Christian organizations, so that we together can work together with the same love and with the same purpose. We work together to see God's glory continue to go throughout the earth. We work together to bless the world. We work together to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So what are some things that we need to consider as we think about this idea? What are some of the kingdom investment practices? What are some of these practical applications that we can find from this? Well, as a person seeks to make disciples, you may start a Bible study or a prayer group in your workplaces. And as you begin to gather, maybe in a small group, as you begin to gather, maybe even in a community group at our church, what might happen is that there might be some divisions within that group. Some people might hurt another person. One person might hurt another person by what they said, or they might offend another person. But then through our connection with Jesus Christ, we can resolve those. We can forgive each other. We can reconcile and come back to that place of being united and living for God's kingdom. Now imagine all these small groups, all these community groups. Imagine all these different groups in office places all around Taipei, all around Taiwan, where these Bible studies have started. Imagine schools where teachers are gathering after the classes are done, or maybe on during one of the lunch breaks where people are gathering together to have these prayer times together. And they're inviting the unbelieving coworkers to come and join them. Imagine that all these groups come together. Then what you begin to see is a church. Not only that, what you begin to see is you begin to see these small churches that may gather together and they may be doing the same thing for the Lord. And when you see a bunch of churches doing the same thing for the Lord, you know, like some churches, they may have division between each other. Some people within our church, and I could say that I've been guilty of this in the past also, that I may talk bad about another church, or I may talk about their weaknesses, or I may talk about their bad theology. And other churches may do the same thing about us. And so there may be these divisions between churches, but again, once again, through the connection that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can get beyond those things. We can talk about how we are united in this purpose. We are united in the gospel. We are united in Christ's love, and how together we can focus on this kingdom work, this kingdom investment of making disciples. And so then imagine all these churches, all the churches all around Taipei joining together. Not only churches, but what if all the Christian organizations were all joining together and the organizations weren't going against the churches, but they were working together? Imagine all these Christian organizations working together. Then what we find is a local movement. A movement of seeing God's work happening all around the land. Now imagine all these local movements happening all around the world, in different places, in different cities, in different countrysides, all around the world, then what we begin to see is a global movement. Isn't this a wonderful picture? But then the way that this is going to happen is if we remember how we are connected with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about a few more practical, or not a few more, but a number more, of what it means to be unified to bless. As we go forth to bless, and imagine churches and these movements happening all around the world, and people are working together. Kingdom citizens are uniting to bless the world. We're wanting to see people come to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're wanting to give glimpses of heaven to people that still don't know. This work is big, and we cannot do it ourselves. Even our church, we cannot do it just by ourselves. We just don't have enough of the resources to do that. So we need to unite together with other churches. We need to unite together with other ministries, other organizations out there to do something like holistic ministry. What is holistic ministry? Holistic ministry is, the basic idea is that sometimes there are things, circumstances that people face where they are just in an urgent situation where they're not able to even stop to think about the gospel. They're not able to stop and think about how they've sinned against the Lord. And so what we need to do is we need to help them get out of that situation. It may be poor people that need to be rescued from their situation. And it doesn't mean just by giving them money. There are a lot of different ways that we can work as a church and with different organizations to help those people that are poor. It might be about helping those that are sick, and those people that are in the hospitals because they have this COVID condition. How can we as a church begin to work together to reach out to those people? It might be a situation where we are thinking about people that are in prostitution and they're just having to work every day and they have no way of stopping and thinking about how they can be freed from that. Maybe there's human trafficking that we're talking about here. There are all these different situations that if we just think about it, exist in this world where people need help to get out of that situation so that we can introduce the gospel to them. We don't want to just do the one without the other. No matter how much I try to tell a hungry person, a person that's struggling with starvation, no matter how much I try to share with them that you need the gospel, they won't be able to hear you or understand what you're talking about unless you feed them, the right hand and the left hand, helping their need and giving them the gospel. You can't have one, just one. You need to have both. And that's what holistic ministry is all about. And so the only way that we can really do holistic ministry is if we unite together with other churches and with other organizations. Second thing is humility. If we understand that we, all of us together, are people that experience the gospel, then we are going to realize once again that we fail. We are sinners. And so we humble ourselves and we say, look, I'm just like you. Our church is just like any other church. We all have our own struggles. Christians are the same everywhere where we have our struggles, where we fall into sin, but where we can continue to turn back to the Lord. And so with that in mind, when we see other churches or other organizations do what they do, we don't have to look at them with criticism, but we can look at them with positivity and gratitude. And we can have a heart of saying, you know, you guys are doing great with this thing. How can we partner with you? How can we work together? Because what you're doing is great. And you can begin to look at other organizations and other churches in a positive way and not look down on them, not criticize them. There may be times where we do need to help correct them, maybe, but more from the attitude of loving them and looking at them with gratitude and with a positive attitude. And that leads into our next point, which is being cooperative. we can be united together to bless by having this heart, this desire to cooperate with other organizations and with other churches. When you meet people from other churches, let's work together to bless them and to be blessed by them and to say that, look, we're in this boat together. God wants us to see the gospel go forth. So we're praying for you. You know, as a church, we pray for other churches, right? And so we can let other churches know, look, we're praying for you. We care about you. We want to see the gospel go forth. We want to see you succeed. So let's somehow work together. Let's cooperate. We can say this about different organizations out there also. We want to see you work. We have people in our church that work with different organizations. We have people in our church that work with organizations that focus on families or focus on counseling or focus on missions. We have people in our congregation right now. You guys, please tell us how we as a church can work with you to see the gospel continue to go forth. Not only that, we can be creative. Just as we are connected with our God who created this world, God teaches us and gives us the ability to be creative and not to do the same thing over and over and over again. Of course, there are things that are essential that need to stay the same. But with other things like the methods, how we reach out to others, what words we might use or what approach we might take, we can be creative about this so that as we think about who are the people that we want to reach out to in this world, as FPC, we specifically want to reach out to the international community. What are the ways that we can reach out to them? What are the creative things that we could think about to continue to reach out to the international community? Maybe some of you guys have some ideas that we as leaders in the church never thought about. Please share with us. Let's work together on this. Kingdom citizens, let's unite together to bless. And not only that, even though we may be creative, there's this temptation to just, once we got the right answer, to just want to stay with that right answer. But then the fact is that circumstances change. Who knew that we would be in this COVID world today? People change. Cultures change. And so with that in mind, we shouldn't just think about being creative to find the right answer and then just stick with that right answer. We also need to be adaptable. To say that was a great idea for that time and for that specific time, for that specific place. But as we think about this new time, or as we think about this other particular group of people, how can we begin to change? And it causes us to think in a way of being open to change. And the last thing is, the fact is that we are sinners, saved by God's grace, but we will, as Christians, we will continue to fail. There will be times that we fail in a slight way, and there will be times that we fail in a major way. But when we do fail, because of our union with Christ, because of our connection with our God, because of all the experience all the things that we experience through Him, the security and the acceptance and the forgiveness and the love, because of all these things, it enables us to strive to forgive one another as Christ forgave us so that we can be united. United among us here, united with other churches, united with people of different backgrounds, of different cultural backgrounds, united with even people that you might consider your enemy that have come to know Christ, you know, because of political reasons or because of ethnic reasons, people that you might have originally called your enemy, we can be united with them for God's glory. Remember, our God is a missionary God and He's doing His work. And what Jesus prayed for us is that we would be united with Him, with our God, and through that we would also be united to one another. Brothers and sisters, I talked about a lot of kingdom investment practices today. But I want to encourage you. Focus on our union with our God and all the promises that He's given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that way, we'll begin to see unity among us here so that the world may know about Jesus Christ and His love for us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful truth and the way that you encourage us by our relationship.